in 1789, Alexander Hamilton was appointed the first Secretary of Treasury. On this day in 1814, an American fleet scored a decisive victory over the British in the Battle of Lake Champlain during the War of 1812. On this date in 1885, author D.H. Lawrence was born in Eastwood, England. In 1941, Charles A. Lindbergh sparked charges of anti-Semitism with a speech in which he blamed the British, the Jewish, and the Roosevelt administration for trying to draw the United States into World War II. And of course, on September 11, 2001, suicide hijackers crashed two airliners into the World Trade Center in New York, causing the 110-story Twin Towers to collapse to the ground. Another hijacked airplane hit the Pentagon, and a fourth crashed in a field in Pennsylvania 8 years ago on September 11, 2001. The weather for today, mostly sunny, a high near 80, southeast wind between 5 and 7 miles per hour. Tonight, patchy fog after 1 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 54. Saturday, patchy fog before 9 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 79. Currently in Wausau, it is 60 degrees with fair skies. Once again, welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio, this Friday edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. I'm with you every day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. My name is Michael Moret, and the views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself and may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRBLP, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. We go verse by verse through the Bible on this program. Today we begin a brand new book, the book of Galatians, a great book of the Bible, six chapters of spiritual dynamite packed into this little book of Galatians. It's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ, all about how to get to heaven and God's plan to get sinners to heaven. Father, I ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we begin today in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul was not called by any individual or any religious group to preach the Word of God. No one recognized a calling from God on Paul to be a preacher and said, we're going to sanction you, we're going to license you, we're with you all the way. It's not how it happened. He wasn't sent by a local church or any human being. He was called by God and sent out to preach by Jesus Christ. No one hired him to be a preacher, so no one could fire him. Jesus told him to preach the Word of God. So even though many enemies of the cross wanted him to stop, he would not stop. He didn't stop until they finally chopped off his head. Lesson. Don't stop living the way God wants you to live for anyone. Don't stop doing what you know God has said you should do because you've seen it in His Word, don't stop doing it, no matter who doesn't like it. Verse 2. And all the brethren who are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Galatia was not a city. It was a region. The Apostle Paul, on his missionary journeys, had started many churches in that region, and now he's writing to them. Those works which we start for Christ should be continued by us for as long as is needed, or for as long as we are able to do them. Verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace come from God the Father and God the Son. And that's it. As great as the apostles were, as great as the Apostle Paul was, as great as the mother of our Lord was, they do not dispense grace and peace to Christians. The Catholic Church teaches that Mary is the dispenser of all graces from God to His people. Sorry, but that's just not true. That job's already been filled by the Father and by the Son, as the Bible says right here. Verse 3 and 4. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. It's not God's will for a Christian to live like a non-Christian. The Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. That's what God says. That's why Jesus didn't just die to pay for our sins so that we don't have to go to hell. Well, sure, that's a big part of it. He did die to pay for our sins so that we wouldn't go to hell. But He also died, as this verse says, verse 4, to deliver us from our sins. To deliver us from this present evil world. He doesn't want a Christian to live like a non-Christian. If a Christian lives in moral filth, always compromising the Word of God, they are out of God's will, and it is a big deal, and it ought to stop. Jesus died to give us the means to live holy. He tells us to live holy. So we are out of God's will when we don't. Look at 4 again. Speaking of Jesus who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. I will never understand. And this is why I've stopped calling myself an evangelical. I stopped calling myself an evangelical probably 12 years ago. I just can't stomach the term anymore. I just couldn't take it. Because there's so much moral compromise. And so much of evangelicalism tries to blend in with the world and tries to be cool in the eyes of the world, tries to be relevant. I will never understand how so many evangelicals can think that it is cool to dress like the world and try to blend in with the world, with their music and their so-called preaching. I don't understand how they can think that that is something that should be attained or sought for in light of the fact that Jesus died to deliver us from this present evil world, which He calls evil here in verse 4. I don't remember who the person was, but this was a couple of years ago. He was a Christian rock star. And he says, "Boy, you know, Christian music is so good now that you can't even tell the difference between Christian music and secular music." And he was so proud of that. We've arrived. Well, you sure have. Why don't you just continue to listen to your top 40? You know, why don't you just continue to buy secular music? Why mimic the world with your music and somehow try to pass it off as being Christian? That's so unbiblical. It's so wrong. If something doesn't glorify Jesus Christ, if it doesn't point to Jesus Christ, and you can't see that it's pointing to Jesus Christ, it's not for the glory of Jesus Christ. You can call it Christian if you want. It ain't. Verse 4 and 5. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of our God, of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I've heard several preachers in recent years who really are paranoid about telling their people to do what is right and to avoid doing wrong. They're paranoid, scared to death that if they tell people this is right and this is wrong, do this and stop doing that because that's what the Bible says, they're scared to death that the people might think that they are earning their way to salvation by doing good. I even heard one preacher say, when you do something good as a Christian, be careful not to think about Jesus. Don't think about Jesus, or you may be attempting to work your way to heaven. That's paranoia. I couldn't believe my ears when I heard that last one. I thought, you got to be kidding me. Don't think about Jesus. The Bible says that our love for Christ should motivate us. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't think about Jesus when you do a good deed. Man, that's the only reason I do good deeds. At least that's the big reason that I do good deeds. We are to separate ourselves from this world, this evil world, as verse 5 says, and we're to do it for the glory of God. 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The Apostle Paul never dreamed that the Galatian Christians would buy a lie and walk away from Jesus Christ. They seemed so zealous. They seemed so committed to the truth about Jesus Christ. That's why he marveled that they fell away. But they did. They quit believing the pure word of God, and they followed the slick, fast-talking false teachers who led them away from the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. That same thing can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to any Christian. And that's why the Bible says that we are to take heed. That's why the Bible says that we are to guard our soul. That's why Scripture says if we think we stand, we must take heed lest we fall. And the highway to heaven is littered with lost souls who at one time trusted in Christ for their eternal salvation but then fell away. And that's exactly what's happening right here. And so that's why Paul wrote this letter, to warn these people. Verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The plan of salvation is all about the grace of Christ. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The plan of salvation is always, it's all about the grace of Christ. God's grace is his unearned, unmerited favor toward lost sinners. Undeserved favor toward sinners. The gospel of salvation is about the grace of Christ. We can't earn eternal life because we're not good enough, but Jesus earned it for us. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Adding any human work as a means of obtaining eternal life adding any human work to that pure gospel as a means of obtaining eternal life is a perversion of God's one and only plan of salvation. See, is it a big deal? Well, look at verse 8. Then God thinks it's a big deal. He says in his word, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Anyone who preaches that Jesus Christ's death was insufficient to pay for our sins and to make a way for us to get right with God. Anyone who preaches that Jesus' death was insufficient. Anyone who preaches that Jesus' death didn't pay for our sins and therefore we must do some kind of work to pay for our sins ourselves is damned to hell. That's what Scripture is saying. And I don't care if it's an angel who preaches that message. Somebody says, oh, I had a vision from an angel and he showed me some gold plates. And it's a different gospel from the one that the church has preached for 2,000 years. Well, I'll tell you what, that angel is not an angel. It's a fallen angel, but it's not he's not one of God's angels. And you know its destiny? Same as any preacher who would pervert the gospel. The lake of fire. They're damned to hell. That's what Paul is saying here. That's what the Bible is saying. They're damned to hell. And they should be damned to hell. Because by leading people to trust in themselves, their own good deeds, or their own sacrificial acts, instead of trusting in the death of Christ, they are leading those people to hell. As Paul said earlier, there is no other gospel. There is no other plan of salvation. There is no plan B if one rejects Christ. Only damnation for those who reject Christ, and only damnation for those who preach and lead people away from Jesus Christ. Let's pick it up after the break. It is 9:16. Let's take our break. We'll come back and we'll pick up our study in verse 9. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat.
We're sending our children the wrong message about Christianity. Find out why on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
Could it be true that we have unwittingly been telling our young people that Christianity is irrelevant? As I present the evidences for creation and explain to young people the problems with evolution, a similar pattern emerges each time. While the material is new to them, it rings true. Soon the questions start, and they begin to express anger as they realize that they have been misled by those teaching evolution. The words of one young man sums it all up. He told me, quote, I just wish that my older brother had heard this message a couple of years ago. I talked with him a lot, and I just know that if he knew that the Bible had intelligent answers, he would not have left the church and hurt my parents. As a matter of fact, until I heard you, I was ready to follow him. Unquote. Other young people tell similar stories. They grew up learning about creation and Adam and Eve in Sunday school, and as they were exposed to evolution, they desperately wanted the Bible to offer an intelligent alternative to evolution, but no one ever offered it to them. Our silence seems to confirm what evolution suggests. Christianity is outdated. Could it be that through our young people, the Lord is telling us that we cannot be neutral or ignorant about the question of origins?
For a printed transcript of today's program, visit our website at creationmoments.com. Or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. That's 1-800-422-4253. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. As Christians, you have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, Scripture says. Before the foundation of the world, God placed his love on you and brought you into his kingdom. The fact that God chose you exalts him by demonstrating his love and grace toward miserable sinners. It eliminates pride by affirming that you are totally dependent on God's grace. And it ought to promote such gratitude that you long to live in holiness and serve him at any price. Rejoice in your election and yield to the Holy Spirit's leading so God's choice of you will be evident to all who know you. This is John MacArthur, trusting that your life is a portrait of grace.
With fair skies and some haze, at 64 degrees in Wausau at 9:20. Welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We are currently studying in the book of Galatians, and we come in our study of Galatians chapter 1 to verse 9. Let's begin our reading in verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Paul, the man of God, sets a good example for all preachers here, all Christians, but especially preachers. Preach the truth. Preach the narrow way. And don't back down for any reason or for anyone. It's very unpopular today to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven, but he is. Christ himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Someone says, Moret, you're preaching hate, you're preaching division, you're preaching a narrow way, you're intolerant. Look, your beef is not with me, it's with Jesus. I gladly stand with Christ. Don't get me wrong, I gladly stand with Christ, and I believe it with all my heart. But he's the one who said it. He was the one who died and was raised from the dead 3 days later. He's the one who claimed to be the Son of God and did too many miracles to even be counted. Miracles that even his enemies could not deny to prove that he was God. Greatest miracle of all, being raised from the dead. I'm going to believe Jesus. But I know it's very unpopular to say that he's the only way to heaven, but he is. It's unpopular to preach that any plan of salvation, so-called, other than repentance and trust in Christ, will take its preachers and its followers to hell, but it's true. It's what the Bible teaches. It's what the Word of God teaches. Jesus believed that the Bible, every word of it, was the Word of God. Preachers need to be like the Apostle Paul right here. Preachers need to draw a line in the sand with Bible truth, and do it without apology. Verse 10. Paul knew that was what he just said was very unpopular, and he knew it. So he follows it up in verse 10 by saying, for do I now seek the favor of men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. At any given moment, we are either trying to please Jesus, or we are trying to please man, ourselves or someone else. But it can't be both. At any given moment, it is one or the other. And when a person doesn't do what the Bible says, in order to please themselves, or in order to please someone else, they are being a servant of man and not of God. Truth and holiness will anger some people. Some people will mock you if you speak the truth or you live holy. Some people will despise you. Some people may try to hurt you if you live holy and you speak the truth. But that is the cross that Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, must be willing to carry. The Apostle Paul was a God-pleaser, not a man-pleaser. Well, that made him very popular with the Lord Jesus Christ and with good Christians. but it made him unpopular with Christ-rejecting sinners. He persecuted him, beat him, stoned him, and as I said earlier, finally got a hold of him, chopped off his head, because he wouldn't shut up. Verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. Paul didn't preach a plan of salvation that some man or some religious group dreamed up. Who cares what people think? Really, who cares what people think will get you to heaven? I couldn't care less what some human being says about how to get to heaven. Hell is too hot and eternity is too long for me to put my faith in some supposed way to heaven that some poor, pitiful, sinful human being dreamed up. No, thank you. I'll follow the Son of God, Jesus Christ, if you don't mind, even if you do mind. That's what God says we should do. And I'm not going to go against God. Verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Christ. No human being taught Paul the message of salvation. He didn't get it from any man. Jesus gave Paul the plan of salvation directly. You say, I think he dreamed it. You say, I think he just made it up. No, not the Apostle Paul, believe me. That's the last thing he would have made up. The Apostle Paul, who formerly was known as Saul before he became a Christian, was a zealous, strict Jew who hated Jesus Christ. Now, he would never made this message up. Look at verse 13. He says, for you have heard of my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Paul hated Jesus before he became a Christian. He could not stand Christ. He hated the church. He persecuted Christians as a result. 14. Still talking about his life before he became a Christian. It says he advanced in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers, which would be the Jewish religion that unfortunately took on a lot of man-made rules and regulations. But Saul, who later became Paul, had a zeal for God before he was a Christian. Oh, he was zealous. But his zeal did not line up with the Bible and therefore opposed the Son of God, which made Paul an enemy of the God that he thought he was serving. He was trying to serve God contrary to Scripture, so he ended up being an enemy of that God. We cannot serve God by doing something which goes against the Holy Bible, no matter how sincere we may be. Don't try to serve God by doing something unbiblical. It won't work. Don't think that you are pleasing to God by doing something unbiblical. It just won't work. This is not true. And I'll tell you something else. The more zealously one does something contrary to Scripture, the more damage it will do. If you have any questions for me, if you have any comments for me, if you have any prayer requests, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or, if you would rather email, you can email me with your questions, your comments, your prayer requests at Scripture, or I should say at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. If you need somebody to speak in your church or to your Bible study or your group, again, my address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or you can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. My name is Michael Moret. The name of this program is Scripture Verse by Verse. I am with you Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you Monday mornings for more of Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. So long, everyone.
Throughout all the lands, unto all the inhabitants thereof.